Please bear with me if you see me drinking water. I've not fully recovered. My throat runs dry. So I don't wish to be disrespectful, but pray for me that my throat will not run dry. Now today we are looking at this topic, Biblical Pattern for Parent and Child Relationship. I think it is known to all of us that every time we take the newspaper and we read about something that's happening to young children today. We wonder what's happening. Even if we walk into a shopping center, we see them gathered in little corners, dressed with hairstyle like peacocks, behaving in a very rough manner, and we look at them and we wonder, what is happening to our children? And parents, yes, they are helpless. They have given up. They just don't know what to do. So I pray that as we look into the biblical pattern for parent and child relationship, may the Word of God speak to us. Now we read from We read from 6:1 to 4, which was read to us earlier on. Now the topic is on Biblical Pattern for Parent and Child Relationship, which means that the pattern we are going to study is not about the worldly patterns of mankind, but on God's pattern on parent and child relationship. Men can make mistakes, but God cannot make mistakes and will not make mistakes. And today's message is directed at all children, both young and old, and also to all parents. This would mean it applies to all of us gathered here in the sanctuary. Now we tend to think that the reference to children means those below the age of, say, 20. And therefore it does not apply to those who are above 20 years old. Well, this is not so. Let's look at Matthew 15:13, 3-6, where here we see the Lord Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And he answers them saying, "Why do you all transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." Here we see our Lord Jesus confronting the Pharisees who hold their traditions to be higher than God's commands. We gather from those verses that the focus was on adult children. The Pharisees tried to urge them to give to God the money that they would have used to care for their parents. But our Lord Jesus said that in so doing, it is disobeying God's command. It is dishonoring parents. And this command is a lifelong command, which as long as our parents are alive, we are to keep on honoring them. However, when a child marries, his or her relationship to the parent changes, but not his or her responsibility to continue to provide for them. Now, to fulfill the biblical pattern as per the scripture text, it requires both children and parents to work in unison. When parents fulfill their God-given responsibility to instruct their children, then children will reciprocate with their obedience. Parents, we take care of our growing children, and when they become adults, we would like them to take care of us, the elderly. Sadly, this is not happening in some cases in today's world. But if we bring up our children in obedience with God's instructions, then we can be certain that our children will take care of us because of their fear of the Lord. You know, it takes two hands to clap. Both parents and children have their respective roles It isn't about fulfilling the role by one side, but by both sides, the parents and the children. It's like a coin. A one-sided coin has no value. It has to be two-sided to be of value. Likewise, God expects the relationship between parents and children to be two-sided in order that it can be of value. Now, the first thing to notice about the commands in the scripture text to parents and children, it is not casual. It is an intentional command. Parenting and obedience must be intentional. Very few things in life will go well if we approach life in a casual way. For example, if we show up for work or school just to be present but not wanting to do our jobs or studies conscientiously, it will probably affect our job evaluation and exam results and may even get us fired or fail in our exams. Our jobs and studies requires focus and energy because we need our jobs and we need to learn to pass. Therefore, we have to be intentional about our attitude to our jobs as well as our studies. Likewise, parenting and obedience have to be intentional, and so does our walk with God. Now, many of us adults, we make an effort to work to expectation because our job matters to us. But oftentimes, parenting, which is the most important job we ever have, is treated casually. It is taken for granted and not pursued with passion, determination, or vision. The scripture text, however, commands the opposite. God requires that parents pursue parenting with enthusiasm and focus. Parenting is not simply waiting for children to grow up and hoping that they turn out okay. It is a daily task. So what is the instruction that Paul gives? Paul starts off with children. Children, obey your parents. The command is simple. Children are to obey their parents. Now, this not only means that children have the responsibility to obey, but parents, we have the responsibility to teach our children obedience, which is one of the most important but difficult job for a parent. Parents, we don't need to teach children how to disobey because they inherited an inclination to sin from Adam. But obedience must be taught. It is essential that a parent teach the child obedience so that the child will grow up knowing how to obey God even when the child doesn't understand everything or doesn't want to. Disobedience must be punished so that obedience can be learned. Parents, we are expected to instruct our children about this command that children are to obey their parents. So much as this verse, this particular part, refers to children, parents, we have our part, which we cannot afford to ignore. The verse continues, in the Lord. This does not mean that children are to obey parents only if their parents are believers. Colossians, in 3:20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, this verse clearly denotes that a child's obedience to parents is pleasing in the Lord's sight. And the reason for this is that it is right. It is proper. It is a proper course to follow in society. So children, don't rush to disobey parents. Take the time to hear what they are saying seek to respect them and obey them as far as possible, unless they are telling you to do something sinful and unlawful, and as long as their commands agree with those of God. We must not disobey our Heavenly Father because of our obedience to our earthly parents, for our obligation to God is prior and superior to all others. Obey your parents, especially in those things which relate to the Lord. God is to be obeyed rather than men. When a parent's order go against the word of God, pause and re-examine the order. You should pray much, think much, and inquire much before you act contrary to the will of the parents. And when you have to disobey, you should state to your parents with much gentleness, respect, and kindness that you believe you ought to love, obey, and serve your God. Such godly attribute to your parents can even be a witness to them. Paul then quoted the fifth commandment in Deuteronomy 5:16 in verse 6 and 12. If you look at it, it's more or less the same. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Some say Paul meant that this is the first command of primary importance that children need to learn, because it comes with a promise. The promise for those who obey their parents is that they will enjoy a good and long life on earth. This states a general principle that obedience fosters self-discipline, which in turn brings stability and longevity in one's life. Conversely, with disobedience, it is improbable that an undisciplined person will live a long life. Now, during the Old Testament time, an Israelite who persistently disobeyed his parents was not privileged to live long, a stable life in the land of Israel. An example is that of priest Eli's son, Hophni and Phinehas. They disobeyed their father Eli and were wicked, as we read in 1 Samuel 2:12. God told Eli in 1 Samuel 2:34 that both his sons shall die. And in 1 Samuel 4:11, we read that the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Though that promise was given to Israel in the Old Testament, the principle still holds. So children, won't you want to go one life to go well for you? It is very simple to achieve it. Obey and honor your parents. This isn't a heavy-handed instruction, but an overwhelming, positive instruction. Look again at what happens when children obey their parents. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, let me share some applications relating to verses 1 to 3. Now, we read in the newspaper of the New Delhi rape, where six men, of whom one was a teenager, raped a girl brutally, and she finally died in hospital. One rapist killed himself while in prison, and the other five were found guilty. The teenager was sentenced to 3 years reformatory training, while the other four men are to be hanged for their crime. It was reported even their families wanted them to be sentenced to death for their brutality. Now, after the pronouncement of the guilty verdict, as the prison van was leaving the court to return to the prison, one of the rapists cried out, "I am innocent! I am innocent!" Now, he could very well be innocent, But who's going to believe him? Even if he had not taken part in the brutal attack, he was in the company of those brutal killers. As I reflect on his cry about his innocence, I believe his parents must have warned him to stay away from those bad crowds. But he disobeyed. Today, it is common to hear of young people, even among us, ignoring and disobeying the sound advice and warning of their parents, assuring themselves, I know what I'm doing. Now children, if you are in this habit of saying, I know what I'm doing, then I tell you, be humble. You may not know what you are doing. Like this boy, like this rapist, if they had obeyed their parents, would they be in this predicament? Children, heed the warning of God. Obey your parents and honor them, for in so doing, God says that it will be well for you and you will lead a good long life. Don't end up like the one who had to shout, I am innocent, I am innocent. It might just be too late. Disobeying his parents led that man to damnation. And if you look at this verse again, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. But for that man, life is not well, and he will not live long on earth because of disobedience. Now let us pause for a moment and consider the victim, the female student. Why was she out with a guy so late in the night? How was she dressed? How was she behaving? Was she smoking, drinking, dressed inappropriately, using bad language? Did she antagonize those guys? Today, worldly behavior often invites trouble. Parents often tell their children to dress decently and behave appropriately and not to stay out too late and not to visit undesirable places. Thank you. But just like some of the young people of today, when the parents gave that advice or that instruction, they ignore the sound advice of their parents, assuring themselves, I know what I'm doing. Again, children, be humble. You may not know what you are doing. Children, again, I say to you, heed the warning of God. Obey your parents and honor them, for in so doing, God says that it will be well for you and you will lead a good, long life. The victim was an Indian girl, and in their culture, it is curfew time. The moment it's dark, they cannot go out. She was raped and brutally harmed. And you know, the defense lawyer of the accused told the press that that girl asked for it, as she had engaged in premarital sex and she got what she deserved. Did this Indian girl disobey her parents and did naughty things behind her parents' back? Look again at verse 6:3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. But for this girl, life was not well with her, and her life was short on earth. She died at Mount Elizabeth Hospital in Singapore. Now, just recently, it was reported in the newspaper that a tattooed man was slashed in a loan shark mix-up. The assailant's uncle was harassed by the loan shark, and so he told his nephew, the assailant. The assailant immediately leapt into action. He rushed to the uncle's housing block in Woodlands Drive, not very far from here, and noticed a man with tattoos getting out of the lift. He immediately attacked that tattooed man with a kitchen knife. And you know something? That tattooed man turned out to be an innocent young man who was about to take his girlfriend home. And the court heard It was the victim's tattoos that led to the case of mistaken identity. The assailant, a father of one who was highly intoxicated, took one look at the victim's leg, which was tattooed, and assumed he was a loan shark. The assailant was jailed for 7 months. Now, I'm very sure that parents must be telling children, don't go and tattoo yourself, you know. But you see what happened to this guy? You see, he straight away signaled the wrong message, and he was attacked with a knife. Now, the newspaper also reported about the dangers of social networking sites like Facebook. Underage girls are befriended and lured into sex and sham investments. Again, parents always tell children, don't spend too much time in the computer. You see the dangers? I know what I'm doing. Do you really think you know what you're doing? Be careful. Now, parents often instruct their children to refrain from smoking, alcohol drinking, premarital sex, gambling, fighting, bad company, tattooing their bodies, and surfing undesirable sites on the internet, because they want their children to be safe and well in body and soul, and to live long in this world in good health and spirit. Last week, Preacher Lake spoke on the personal conduct of the Christian and referred us to Ephesians 4, 25 to 32. Now, if you read from this verse and you follow these words, children, you will see that obedience to the Word of God is good for us, for it leads us to live a long, blissful life in this world. And we also see in Proverbs 4, 13, it tells us, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. I believe some grown-ups here would wish that they could reverse time. Reverse time to when they were perhaps teenagers. I'm one of them. I wish I had obeyed my parents' strict warnings, but I was far too proud and caught up with the ways and attractions of the world. I did what I was not supposed to do, and I paid heavily for my disobedience. Being young, I thought I knew what I was doing, but I did not, and which is why I experienced that when things went wrong, and I paid heavily. But I thank God for His saving grace, mercy, and love. God, my Heavenly Father, He spanked me and restored me to the way of truth and righteousness. So if you are undergoing the same struggle that I went through, then I urge you to come to our Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness and repent and seek for guidance and strengthening by the Holy Spirit. So if we are struggling, there is a way out. Come to the Lord while you can, and not before it's too late. Now, in the book of Exodus, we read about generational blessing. The people of Israel were given the law of God, and the law was good. Parents instructed their children in the law, and if their children obeyed the law, they would prosper and thrive in the new land God was giving them. This promise applied to them then, and it continues to apply to us today. Let us also heed the warning in Proverbs 30:11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Now, these people, they do not obey nor honor their parents. They are abusive to their parents. They use bad language on them. They call them bad names and even injure them. There is a generation of such people, both young and old, of that horrible character, and they commonly get together and instigate one another to go against their parents. Today, it is quite common that when a teenager tells another teenager, you know, I obey my parents, you know what's the answer? Why, you're so square. Where got such thing? You know? So they start exchanging notes. And that's where this bad influence affects our innocent children. And you see, when we do that, be warned, for what does Exodus 21:17 says? He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. This sin is punishable by death. Children, do you belong to such a generation? And are you guilty of this sin? If you are, please come to our Lord Jesus Christ and ask for forgiveness and repent and seek the guidance and strengthening of the Holy Spirit. So children, should you listen to your friends or God? We ought to obey God rather than men. This is the word of God. So parents, as we instruct our children, let us win them over with the grace of God and the promise of God's blessing for their own obedience. Obedience to us, parents, is not ultimately for our good or our benefit. It is for our children's good and for their benefit. So as parents, we need to win over our children's hearts. We need to convince them of the blessing we want them to experience. Though we rule with law, but we must lead with love. We saturate our parenting in grace and mercy and hope. We are for them. We are for the blessing of God in our children's lives. So when you children are told to be thankful to your parents, it is not necessarily for the benefit of your parents, but for God's benefit. Some children find it difficult to obey their parents. But if you are a born-again Christian and you are struggling with this sin, you can change, because I can do in Philippians 4:13 through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can change. I've heard people saying that I try but I cannot change. But the word of God says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So go to God in prayer, and by the leading and the strengthening of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to obey your parents in the Lord. Parents, train your children to say thank you so that they grow up to be grateful and courteous. It is for their benefit. Okay, children, you'll be thinking, all right, Father, you talk too much about us. Now the attention is turned to parents, or specifically to people like me, fathers. And it says here, and ye fathers. So fathers, wake up, pay attention. Fathers are addressed because they represent the governmental head of the family, on whom rests the responsibility of child discipline. Not easy to be a father, no? But we do know that mothers are also responsible for child discipline, and they do discharge that responsibility faithfully. And yet, why did Paul not include the mothers? Paul did not include mothers as he is speaking directly to us fathers. It is not that mothers are not responsible for training their children spiritually. It is because we fathers have the primary responsibility to train our children spiritually. In reality, this emphasis on fathers is countercultural in today's world, because oftentimes fathers are expected, because of their work, and they are taken away from home for some periods. So because of this, some fathers take a back seat in spiritually feeding the family. And therefore, today, it has become normal to expect mothers to be more involved in spiritual things than fathers. Therefore, the spiritual commitment of mothers ought to be strong. We see in 2 Timothy 1:5, we read about the godly influence of Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and mother Eunice on him. But then Paul says that the spiritual leader of the home ought to be the father. The father should be the one getting the family together to read the Bible. The father should be the one turning off the TV when there are negative influences coming into the home. The father should be the one getting the family ready to go to church for worship and hear the word of God. Fathers should be the one asking the hard question to their children and addressing bad attitudes and misbehavior and what kinds of friends they are hanging out with. Recall the New Delhi rape case and never let it happen to our children. So Father, we have a heavy responsibility to check on our children. It is not easy. That's why we are the fathers. And if we decide to take it easy, and when we lose our children, then it's just too late to cry. The primary and not sole responsibility for the spiritual development of our children should be on the fathers and not the mothers. Fathers, when we open the Bible and pray in front of our children, we are saying that there is a greater Father than us. There is a God who is smarter than us, wiser than us, stronger than us, braver than us, and more powerful than us. We are a man under the authority of this God. And this will point our children to God, to God who leads the family. The greatest goal of parenting is not that our children become just like us, but that our children become like Christ. And the best way for our children to become like Christ is that they become like us as we become like Christ. So fathers, we have to work on our spiritual testimony to be an example to our children. So let's make an effort to attend the church prayer meetings on Wednesday night, Sunday mornings, the Sunday school, the AF, the SAF, and join an NBC group as an example for our children to follow when they grow. And verse 6:4 goes on to say, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, we are commanded, it's not a request, we are commanded not to provoke our children to wrath or anger. Why does Paul say this? Because parenting with a heavy hand can stir up resentment and animosity in a child's heart. If fathers are all about justice without mercy, the results can be devastating. If fathers operate as lawgivers with an iron fist, refusing to even listen to what the child has to say, he will not win over his child's heart. He will actually turn the child off the faith. Some children will grow up angry with their fathers for being too heavy-handed, and some angry with their fathers because of their indifference. So Paul is highlighting the propensity to operate in an authoritative way. Parents, you know, we have a tendency that whenever our children speak, we tell them, shut up. You don't talk, just listen. You know, be heard, but not seen. But is that right? What does the Word of God tell? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Parents, we need to make an effort to listen to what our children have to say. Parents, we can break the bondage. Now, many of us who are very authoritarian in how we rule our family, then here is a way out. David, in Psalm 32:5, he came forward and he said, I acknowledge my sins unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Now I know of a Christian brother who lost his father as a boy and was brought up by his uncle. He was the only son. His uncle was the guardian. And you know, the uncle bullied and treated this boy very badly. He made this little boy his footstool. You know what is that? You know, sometimes when you watch TV, you like to put your feet up. Where do you put your feet onto? Maybe a stool or something. That this boy was made the footstool. So he had to sit there, and the father, the uncle would put one leg here, one leg there. Smelly feet on the boy. And this was a frequent thing. You know how insulting it is to do that to a boy? And he had no choice, because the uncle is the guardian. So this boy, he was provoked, and he grew up, you know, he grew up becoming very rebellious whenever he thinks he's being bullied, even though he's not being bullied. The uncle could do that because the uncle was bigger, he was small. That was bullying. So he grew up with that attitude that I'm being bullied. So as an adult, the moment he fears or he senses that he's being bullied, he becomes very rebellious. The provocation and treatment he received from his uncle when he was a child made him out to be like a monster. When he became an adult, it impacted him badly, especially in his relationship with people, which soured very quickly. Nobody could get along with him. I heard he never changed till death took him away. So fathers, let's not beat our children down, but instead bring them up. Instead of provoking children to anger, fathers are to bring up the children in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. Fathers are not to provoke or drive their children to anger by unreasonable demands, petty rules, or favoritism. Such actions cause children to become discouraged. As we see in Colossians 3:21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Instead, fathers are to bring children up in God's discipline, including directing and correcting and training in righteousness and instruction of the Lord. We see this in Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 6:4 goes on and he says, and bring them up in the nurture, which means to train and develop them, and admonition of the Lord. What does it bring? What does it mean to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? First of all, it means that the primary responsibility for the spiritual well-being of our children is on us, the parents. Paul writes these words directly to parents, specifically to fathers. Paul does not tell us parents to make sure that our children are in church or in a good youth group or that our children are sent to church camp every year or on mission trips. All of those things are right and good. But Paul places the burden and task of raising children squarely on the shoulder of parents. He's speaking into the home. He is not concerned with spiritual activity outside the home. He's concerned with spiritual activity inside the home. Instruct children to fear sinning and motivate them to discharge their duties towards God. Teach them the fear of the Lord. Fathers, it is very courageous. It's a courageous thing to open up the Word of God in front of your family and read it out aloud. It may be the bravest thing you ever do, but it will change your home forever. Reading the Bible and praying with your family will bring Christ into your home. Fathers, let's not put that responsibility on our wives. The responsibility is on fathers, and our wife and children will love and respect us for it. This is a challenge for all of us fathers. If you have never done it, let me urge you, do it, and you will see the change in your family life. So parents, God wants us to instruct and discipline our children. And I want to talk about two types of discipline which might be useful. Formative discipline and correctional discipline. Now, formative discipline deals with the development of behavior and the consequence for it. It requires parents to get down to the child's level and telling the child about the wrong, and then followed by the punishment. Using the rod or cane, which some parents are very reluctant to do it, but you see, the Word of God says in Proverbs 13, 24, 15, 14, 15, in all of these verses, the rod of correction. It is in the will of God that we use the rod to correct our children. So in formative discipline, the child is not provoked, because the wrong is reasoned first, and sometimes fair pre-warning is given for the same wrong before the punishment. I apply formative discipline with my children. I give them three warnings for a certain wrong. I don't straight away punish them. I tell them, you do it the third time, you get caning. Of course, they always get caning because they will always repeat the same mistake. So I will tell them that the third warning is up. Alright, you're going to get usually three strokes of the cane. I cane them. So they know there is no argument. So since my son, he knows he's going to get caning, but he comes prepared. You know, he put exercise book in his underwear, you know, and then he will come. And I look, hey, how come his backside became bigger? So he comes prepared. But anyway, he still gets caning. I'll pull it out, give him good caning, because it must make them realize that it is wrong and there is a price to pay. But my daughter is different. I do it both for the boys and the girls. My daughter, she doesn't come with any exercise book in her underwear. But she always observes that whenever I cane my daughter, I will cry. And she will cry. So before I cane, she will reason with me. Daddy, you're going to cane me. I'm going to cry, and you are going to cry. So why not you don't cane me, and both of us will not cry? Very good reasoning. So I said, no, you did something wrong, you know. And much as I know I don't like to punish you and I'm going to cry, I have to punish you. So I'll punish her and I'll cry. So that's the formative discipline, where I explain to them the wrong and why it's wrong. So after the punishment is over, we are okay, because they were forewarned. There is no provocation, there is no anger. However, in correctional discipline, it is basically justice without mercy and punishment and without any explanation. In correctional discipline, the child is most likely provoked because the wrong is not reasoned and no pre-warning given, but immediate punishment. It is like tsunami with devastating consequences. After the punishment, sometimes it is difficult to get through to the child because the parent did not want to hear the child's side of the story first. You see how important it is that we need to talk to our children before meeting out the punishment. You didn't talk to me, you just come like Zorro, you just caned me. And after caning, you come and say, what did you do? And then you say, oh yeah, you're not in the wrong, but I already got caning. You see? So correctional discipline will provoke the child. So formative discipline is more difficult of the two. Formative discipline takes more thought, it takes more time and more energy. But it is the best form of discipline as far as I'm concerned. There is more to parenting than simply correcting bad behavior. It also involves shaping character. Now, strict discipline with no explanation or instruction provokes a child to become angry. Parents, again, hear Paul's warning, provoke not your child to wrath. Instructing is positive and beneficial for our children. It is investing in them relationally, spiritually, and emotionally. It is getting under your children to bring them up toward God. In so doing, it is an act of serving our children, not dominating them, not to lord it over them. Train them to know God, love God, and fear God. Now, it is the season for exams. PSLE, O, A-levels, Poly, Uni. And we hear about the pressures and anxieties that even parents undergo during this period. And parents would go to extremes to ensure nothing happens to distract their children during their preparations. This is well and good. But you know, there is one other thing that parents can do, and if I may suggest, one thing that parents can do for their children is for parents to come together in church to pray specifically for our children while in the midst of their examination, say fortnightly, maybe on a Friday night, until their exams are over. You know, parents, this is a challenge for us. Are we prepared to take on this challenge for the sake of our children during the examination period? And I'm very sure our children will be touched and motivated by our actions as we parents come specifically to pray for them, even if it means to fast and pray. Parents, we cannot study for our children, but we can certainly pray for them. So in conclusion, if our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is real, it will usually prove itself at home in our relationship with those who know us best. Children and parents, we have a responsibility to each other. Children should obey and honor their parents, even if the parents are demanding and unfair. Parents, we should take care. We should care gently for our children, even if our children are disobedient and unpleasant. Ideally, Christian parents and Christian children should relate to each other with thoughtfulness and love. This will happen if both parents and children put the other's interests above their own. And that is, if parents and children submit to one another in the fear of God. So children, obey your parents in the Lord. And parents, we are to train and instruct our children in the Lord. So may God help us to be obedient to His instructions. Let us pray. Lord God, we come before Thee, praying, O Lord, that Thou would fill our minds, parents, with Thy instructions to know how to work with our children, to motivate them and to instruct them, Lord, in the way of God. And for children, Lord, that they will be humble to come and obey, for Thou hast promised, Lord, that their life will be good for them if they choose to obey their parents. So, Lord, we come and submit ourselves to Thee, praying, O God, that Thou will forgive us where we have gone wrong, and that as we leave this place, we will carry Thy word with us and apply it to our families. O God, in Thy mercy, hear our prayers, for we ask with thanksgiving, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.